keep firing! Those of you too wounded to fight, act as loaders for those who aren't. Don't let the enemy breach the trenches!
With no officers to lead them, the irregulars had turned to Regan for leadership, and in spite of his youth, he had rallied the men and formed some semblance of an organized defense. He'd spread the lines thinner than Tolomian had on previous attacks, and because there were Laz rifles to spare, each shooter had two rifles, one to fire while the other was being reloaded by an injured comrade. Though not ideal, the constant stream of Laz fire was keeping the predominantly close combat-armed enemy at bay.
What's the ammo situation like, Mur?
The podgy guardsman had taken a shrapnel wound to the shoulder during the artillery barrage and had been acting as Regan's loader ever since. He held up a single power pack and shook his head.
Last one.
Regan depressed the firing stud on his rifle and drew a blank. He tossed it back to Murtaugh and took the proffered replacement.
Keep that one for yourself.
Murtaugh looked puzzled.
Why?
Because even without a power pack, Imperial Guard Laz rifles make pretty handy clubs, and I have a feeling we'll be needing those soon. If you do have to fire it, make sure you keep enough juice back for one final shot.
Murtaugh was just about to repeat his previous question when understanding crept up on him.
Oh.
Along the length of the trench, the Irregulars' weapons ran dry, and as the enemy breached the Imperial lines, the battle became up close and personal. Fastening on his bayonet attachment, Regan stabbed out at the first two cultists to make it to his position. The first took the full length of the steel blade in his thigh, while the second attacker found himself impaled upon it and hurled backwards. Murtaugh put a las round through the head of the first cultist, before making to do the same with the second, only to stop himself from wasting the shot when he realized that Regan had finished the job first time around. He knelt down to pilfer the knife sheathed in the Chaos Worshipper's belt. Only after moving aside what he thought to be a cloak did he realize the cultist was clad in a second skin, one stitched together from the flayed corpses of his enemies.
Holy Throne!
Man up, Mur! I need you with me for this. Come on, let's make sure that they don't do that to the people of Amadis.
The hand-to-hand fighting was intense. Although the Chaos forces possessed strength in numbers, the close confines of the Imperial Trench made it difficult to press that advantage. Just as the months of trench warfare had been about softening up and reducing the numbers of the Imperial Guard, the endgame followed a similar pattern. For every cultist or mutant that fell, another appeared to take his place while the Irregulars' numbers slowly dwindled. Murtaugh and Regan fought back to back, swinging with bayonet and rifle butt, trying to keep a clear zone around them. The stench of the enemy was almost as dangerous as their weapons, and there were times when both men found themselves fighting one-handed, the other used to cover their mouths and noses to prevent being overcome. Two maggot-infested cultists they'd been battling against collapsed backwards, the backs of their skulls disintegrating from a pair of shots to the head.
Look like you needed a hand.
The erstwhile ganger was virtually unrecognizable from the Taric they'd last seen only minutes earlier. A vicious wound had opened up his cheek, and the flesh hung loose, exposing his teeth and part of his upper jaw. His face was streaked with thick blood from a pumping head wound, and the remains of an enemy blade jutted from his right thigh.
Ready to make good on that oath we swore?
We all gotta go sometime. Might as well go out fighting.
The three men formed a circle as a ceaseless tide of enemy troops swarmed the trench. With a combination of las fire, blade, and improvised club, they made their last stand. Cultist after cultist fell until, exhaustion and blood loss finally taking its toll, Taric lost consciousness. Regan and Murtaugh put themselves between the enemy and the body of their friend and fought like the Emperor himself was at their back to prevent him from being further mutilated. Murtaugh fell next. A hulking mutant launched itself over the lip of the trench, knocking over the two guardsmen and half a dozen of his co-fighters. Regan quickly scrambled back to his feet and shot the mutant clean through the side of the head, but the brute fell forwards onto the insensible Murtaugh, trapping him beneath its bulk. Distracted, several pairs of hands tried to pull Regan to the ground. His damaged leg finally gave way, and he splashed back into the mud and viscera carpet of the trench floor. He lay there stunned for a second, before he felt cold blades sliding under his flesh as the cultists started to flense his skin as part of their gruesome ritual. He threw back his head to scream, but no sound came. As awareness began to drain from him, He swore he saw the vapor trail of a flyer in the night sky and heard the sound of a weapon being discharged nearby. He put it down to the pain and the loss of blood playing tricks on him. He opened his mouth to scream again, but the noise he heard sounded like more weapons fire. Where had the cultists gone? They had just been there, stealing his flesh to make themselves a new skin. He closed his eyes, but knowing that he'd never wake up if he fell unconscious, fought them open again. That's when he saw the angel. There, head silhouetted against the brightest of Procell V's six moons, was the most beautiful thing Regan Antigone had ever seen. An angel in the Emperor's own image, with wings of metal and clad in green power armor. It wore no helm save the halo of moonlight, and the tools of its vengeance lay sheathed about its waist. It gently lifted the guardsman from the filth of the trench floor and cradled him in its arms.
I am Sergeant Tigraine of the Dark Angels, and I am your salvation!
Regan couldn't be sure if the angel had spoken to him or was communicating directly into his mind. But the last thing he remembered before finally letting sleep take him was ascending to the heavens on the angel's metal wings.